There are prodigal sons, we can see his sins, and there are elder brothers who are at home filled with arrogance and pride.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. These are very familiar verses, and there's some very powerful ideas that are contained within them. Paul could say, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Our subject is the greatness of Christian redemption. Now, as I look at 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, and I hope you have your Bibles open, you can see these things with me. As I look at those two verses, it seems to me that in that passage, those two verses, Paul lays out three great implications of Christian redemption. Paul says there are three great implications of Christian redemption. Because you are the redeemed of God, because you're bought, because you are redeemed, there are three great implications that relate to Christians. Number one, he says, Christians are a purchased people. Ye are bought with a price. We are a purchased community. And then number two, Christians are a privileged community. And then number three, he says, not only are Christians a purchased community because of Christian redemption, and not only are they a privileged community, but he says, finally, they are a purposed community. You are endowed with tremendous purpose. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Now let's look at these just for a few moments, each of these concepts for just a moment. Number one, Paul says Christians are a purchased community. You are bought with a price. Now that's a very precious phrase. Just a whole host of ideas are in that phrase. Now I'm going to look at four of them with you for just a moment. First, there's slavery. You were bought. And that word bought, Paul's word bought, is agorazo. And it comes from the noun agora. The agora was the slave market. So Paul says, to be bought by the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ means to be released from slavery to sin, to self, and to Satan. It means to be set free. Once we were in slavery, now we're free. You are bought. Not only is there slavery there, but there's historicity. Technically, Paul does not say, ye are bought. He says, ye were bought. That's the essence of the aorist tense there. It suggests that aorist tense is punctiliar action that occurs at a point in time, a real historic event. The event in view is the redemptive death of our Lord Jesus Christ, the historical event we call the crucifixion. It was there that Jesus Christ gave his life a ransom for many. Then thirdly, not only is there a slavery in that phrase, not only is there a historicity in that phrase, but there's a finality. You have been bought, literally, and paid for. That's an excellent way of translating that phrase. That's why he adds that little statement, with a price. He could have stopped, you were bought. No, you were bought with a price. And the idea is you were bought and actually paid for. It's all done. All you have to do is respond to it. All I have to do is respond to it and claim it by faith. And then finally, there's legality here. You were bought is an interesting phrase. You wouldn't see it in the English translation clearly, but that is a term that implies a legal transaction. Paul is using here the imagery of what is called sacral manumission. Sacral manumission means the sacred liberation of a slave. The Christian is the person who has undergone sacral manumission in the truest sense of the term. And that means two things to him. Number one, it means liberation from his former master. He has been set free from the principle and the penalty and the power of sin. It also implies lordship. He's been set free from the old master, and he's become the slave of a new master. He now enjoys slavery to a benevolent master, Jesus Christ, whose benevolence begins with his payment of the price of our freedom and continues with his constant care and provision for us. Paul says, do you know what was one of the first implications? You are a purchased community. But then he says, secondly, you are also a privileged community. As if that wasn't privilege enough. You are a privileged community. He says in verse 19 that your body, what? Know ye not that your body, you know what the result of this is? This purchase? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. That's a privilege. You're a privileged community. As I look at that verse, it seems to me there are two ideas there. One, he says Christians are a sacred residency. We're a residential entity, and someone has taken up residence within us. Christians are a sacred residency. You are the inner sanctum of God. You are the place where God visibly dwells. God Himself has taken up residence within you. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you and I are the bearers of the divine glory. We are the temples of God's Holy Spirit. I tell you, that brings dignity. That brings value down into our lives. But I want to tell you something else. It brings not only dignity, it brings responsibility. It means not only are we valuable, we are to be virtuous. To be the very bearer of God, the depository in which He dwells, implies separation from the evil and the ungodly things. To be that kind of an entity rules out all such conduct as is not appropriate to the temple of God. That's what Paul meant when he wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. Paul said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? How can we be idolatrous? We're the temples of God. For ye are the temple of the living God, 2 Corinthians 6:16 to 18. Then he says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. It brings to us not only dignity, it brings to us responsibility. By the way, it brings its own reward. God says that when we separate, when we come out from among them and are separate, God says, I will be a father unto you. Every person who's born into God's family can claim justifiably that God is his father. But in a very special and real sense, for those who are separated from the ugly and the godless things, they understand and enjoy the full manifestation of the divine fatherhood. It means unhindered communion and fellowship. It means fruitful service. You know, I think we frequently do not sense the warmth of God's fatherhood in our lives because we are so prone to defile the temple in which He dwells. We don't follow the advice, get thee out and be separate from the godless and the ugly and the contaminating things. There are times, I believe, in which, in a metaphorical sense, the Heavenly Father is forced onto the back porch of our life and He retreats from the warmth and the sweetness of fellowship because of the defiling things we allow into the mind, the spirit, and the body of the temple in which He dwells. Christians are a sacred residency and they have a sacred regency. You are not your own, he says. We have a regent. We have a king who rules and prevails over us, and we are his subordinates. The temple belongs to God. We are not our own. He holds the title. It is his by right of creation, by right of redemption, and by right of preservation. He created us, He redeemed us through His Son, and He preserves us unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not our own. Now that brings with it privilege. God is the one who holds the title to our being, is the provider and the guide of our being. He's the shepherd and the pilot of our being. It brings privilege, but it also brings responsibility. Christian, you and I, we are not our own to injure. We're to take care of this body. We are not our own to waste in idleness, in amusement. You know what amusement means? It means to stop musing. You know what it means to muse? It means to think. Amusement means to stop thinking. We are not our own to waste in idleness and amusement or speculation. We are not our own to exercise caprice or foolishness or to follow our own prejudices or our depraved affections or our wayward wills or our irregular appetites. We are God's. We belong to Him. We're to love Him. We're to cherish Him. And we're to obey Him. You're not your own. You belong to Christ. There's a final point here. I just give you the outline. We are not only a purchased community, you're bought with a price. We're not only a privileged community, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost and you're not your own. But we are a purposed community. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's our purpose. You know, Christians are the only people on the face of the globe who have a fantastic purpose in living. And our purpose is to glorify God. We have identity. We know who we are and where we came from. We don't believe in the evolutionary myths. We believe in the creative genius and power of Almighty God. We have identity. We have destiny. We know where we're going. We're going to the Father's house. And we possess not only identity and destiny, but we possess utility. We know why we are here. We have a utilitarian purpose. And the reason we are here, our chief end and goal in life is to glorify God. That is the great overriding principle which regulates everything we do. So Paul puts it in the aorist imperative, start glorifying. Start doing something you've not been doing. Start glorifying God and do it right now. That word therefore is not the customary word for therefore. It's a little Greek particle, ede, E-D-E, with a long E on each end. Ede, it's pronounced, and it's the particle of urgency in the Greek New Testament. Start glorifying God right now, speedily, because this is a critical issue. So Paul says we're to glorify God in our body. Do you notice? In our body and in our spirit. Did you know there are sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit? 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. There are sins of the flesh. We're to cleanse ourselves of the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. There are sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. And so we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. There are overt and covert sins. There are perversions up on the surface and pride, which is subtle down underneath. There are prodigal sons. We can see his sins. And there are elder brothers who are at home filled with arrogance and pride. Paul says we are not to allow the appetites of the body or the attitudes of the spirit to degenerate to sin. We're not to be filled with pride or hate or anger or bitterness or jealousy or envy. We're not to do that. If we do that, we negate our purpose, which is to glorify God.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
We are the slaves of God. Do we heed His every command? Are we sensitive to what He says? We are His slaves.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.